We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Thursday, November the 7th. Thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
Christopher Woodward.
Good morning.
And in Kansas City is Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Has fall arrived there yet?
Well, it's 47 degrees right now, okay. So I think so. I think the 90s and even the 80s are gone until the springtime.
Yeah, we've been experiencing, what do you call it, Indian summer?
Yeah. Well, now we're Indian fall, soon to be Indian winter. The way it's going.
It's been really, in the South, it's been really warm. Maybe it's probably abnormally warm everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's shorts and T-shirt weather still here.
Yeah, it's really, really. I'm loving it. I told Allison the other day, I said, I feel like I'm living in Florida in the winter. Now, it's not, you know, brutally cold here.
No.
For what our friends in the North would call brutally cold. Yeah. Even in the winter, you typically, but to be 80, November the whatever it is, I'm just saying, I just giving thanks for global warming. That's all I'm doing right now. I'm loving it. All right. So if you're an outdoors person, you know, and you do like, unless you're a deer hunter.
Yes.
They want it to get cold.
Yes.
And duck hunting.
Yes.
They want it to get cold.
Mm-hmm.
So my sons, they love deer hunting.
Yeah.
And so they're looking forward to a couple weeks from now. All right. Ray, give us a good word from the scriptures this morning.
Okay, here we go. Got good news and bad news today, okay? But it's all right. It's from the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, but reject irreverent, silly myths. Okay, we'll do that. Then it says, instead, train yourself for godliness. Now, that's good news, that you don't have to stay the way you are. You can get better. And, you know, that's one of the fundamental truths of Christianity. We say to anybody in the world, you do not have to stay the way you are. Trapped in sin, trapped in darkness, trapped in patterns of life that have broken you and maybe messed up your marriage and messed up everything around you. You don't have to stay the way you are. Come to Jesus. You'll have a new life. Now, having said that, that's good news. The good news is anybody can be changed by Jesus. But if you want to become truly godly, it's kind of like losing weight, okay? I don't know about the rest of you, but I am a sucker for these ads on TV that say, take this pill, go get this supplement, and the pounds will come. They'll just disappear. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, no, if you want to become godly, there are no shortcuts. Let me just leave it right there. There are no shortcuts in the spiritual life. Just like if you want to lose the weight, you got to get up, you got to exercise, you got to train yourself. Nobody becomes godly by accident. You don't grow spiritually by accident. You grow spiritually because you use the means of grace that God has given you, which is scripture memory, which is prayer, which is worship, which is fellowship, which is sharing your faith with others and taking a stand for Jesus. And by the way, I got to give you this other verse. Paul, I don't know if Paul was into exercise much. Well, he walked hundreds of miles, but he said, but physical exercise is of limited value. Tim plays golf. I ride my bike. But godliness is valuable in every way. So while you're busy about everything else today, take some time to discipline your life spiritually. Read the Bible. Pray. Memorize a verse. Sing some songs. Fellowship with other believers. If you do that, you will grow spiritually, and you'll be strong in the face of the temptations that are all around us. So,
amen.
Is that good news? Fred, is this good news or is this bad news?
Oh, it's absolutely good news. Everything you've said is true. With me, you know, everybody has their time of the day when they do their devotion. Now, some people are late at night people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My brain goes fudgy after about 4 in the afternoon. So I tried to do it. You know, people make fun of me. I get up around 3:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And, you know, shave and get coffee ready and that sort of thing. But that's – and I have my devotion around 4 o'clock from 4 to 4:30, somewhere in there. That's when my brain is the spongiest. I don't even know if that's a word. But that's
like
when
it.
That's when the brain is the spongiest, and it's just a great way to start the day. Another thing I do, if it's a nice, clear morning, I love go out and look at the stars. And you know what? It just reminds me when I look at those stars, nothing man can do today can change where those stars are and who's in control.
Yeah.
Nothing man can do can mess that up. And so it's exciting. It's a great way. It puts your spirit in the right sense. Then I come into work, and I start reading political stuff.
Right, right. And it's downhill after that.
But I keep reminding myself, hey, listen, God's still in control.
Yeah.
No matter what the man is doing.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, so what verses were you referencing there for those?
That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8.
What was the first phrase that you read there, the first one?
Well, it says, but reject irreverent, silly myths, which the world is full of, and then train yourself for godliness.
Okay. That's a good theme for a political party.
What?
Reject silly myths.
Reject.
Yeah. So, you know, thing about the scripture is, especially there in, well, all through the scripture, you said it says train yourself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's up to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's up to the individual to either train themselves for godliness or not.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's right. 100%.
So then that is saying that's a choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, as you read through the Bible, I know – there are different theological perspectives on life on earth for humans and our relationship to God, even within the Christian family. But over and over and over, I'm seeing it's your choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's your choice today, tomorrow, on what you will do and how you will behave and how you will.
Yeah. God in his sovereignty decided to give us choice.
Right.
But God in his sovereignty says there are consequences.
What, both good and bad.
To what we choose, yes.
Yeah, if we choose good.
Yeah.
Anyway, train yourself for godliness. So there you go. The admonition there from 1 Timothy, you say?
1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Listen, it was Abraham Lincoln who said, most people are about as happy as they want to be. Well, there's a lot of, right, there's a lot of truth in that. And most Christians are about as close to the Lord as they want to be, because if they wanted to be closer, they would get up and they would train themselves for godliness. So the good news is you can develop a deeper walk with God, but there's a price to pay. There's a choice you have to make, and you got to make it every single day.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Chris, bring us down.
Yes, that's what I'm here for. Hey, speaking of Lincoln, yesterday was the anniversary of him being elected president in 1860.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. And today is the anniversary of George W. Bush being elected, and we all know how that went down. Aren't you glad that we're not in that situation today in 2024?
So the first Tuesday in November has always been, is that right? Election day? You said today is the anniversary of what? Abraham Lincoln?
George W. Bush being elected president. Yesterday was the anniversary of Lincoln being elected president.
Okay. Well, it must have
According to Britannica.
What I'm saying is it must have been the first Tuesday in November, National Election Day, for a long, long time.
Yes. Inauguration Day used to be later than it currently is. I want to say it was in late winter, very early spring back in the day.
I think in March sometime, right?
Okay. So they moved that up. That's been moved up.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
So Vice President Kamala Harris did give a concession speech yesterday. President Biden... Possibly.
Did she do it joyfully?
She did.
She's the minister of joy.
Yeah, she is. Speaking of the Biden-Harris administration, we are awaiting some sort of comments from President Joe Biden. He's about 14 minutes behind right now, but he is supposed to speak within this hour. Looks like they're going to do it outside the White House. All the TV channels are following that. But for the time being, we'll play some audio from Vice President Kamala Harris's concession speech. I have two sound bites here. We aired both of these last night, so some people that listen to us have heard these. But for those who missed it or just want to hear it again, let's begin with this one. It's Vice President Kamala Harris urging Democrats and other supporters to stay politically active and keep fighting. Clip one.
My heart is full today, full of gratitude for the trust you have placed in me, full of love for our country, and full of resolve. The outcome of this election is not what we wanted, not what we fought for, not what we voted for. But hear me when I say, the light of America's promise will always burn bright.
Okay.
As long as we never give up and as long as we keep fighting.
All right, so that's one clip. To the all-important question of will she handle the peaceful transition over to President-elect Donald Trump, she said this. Clip two.
Folks are feeling and experiencing a range of emotions right now. I get it. But we must accept the results of this election. Earlier today, I spoke with President-elect Trump and congratulated him on his victory. I also told him that we will help him and his team with their transition and that we will engage in a peaceful transfer of power.
Well, good for her. Huh?
Yeah.
I don't know what else you would expect, Ray, but still good to hear those words.
She said what she needed to say. It's not easy, right? Leaving politics aside, it's not easy to give a concession speech when you have, again, leaving ideology, everything else aside, when you have spent your lifeblood, so to speak, out there, and to be rejected, frankly, it's a decisive rejection. She lost. This wasn't close, right, Tim? It was not a close election in terms of the Electoral College. She got swept away in the Rust Belt. So it's not easy. I thought she did as well as anybody in her position could do.
Fred?
Yeah, it was the appropriate speech for yesterday, but I'll tell you, as she was speaking, even before she got up to speak, it was the night of the long knives from people within her own party. People within her own party, of course, are now casting blame. They're not casting blame at Donald Trump and the Republicans. They are casting blame at their own. And I think, Chris, that you've got some people who worked on the Harris campaign.
Yes.
Are now saying we made some big mistakes.
Yes. I've got a couple of clips here. Let's begin with this one. It's a lady that some people may have seen for the past 24, 48 hours on Fox News Channel. Her name is Lindy Lee. Lindy is a Pennsylvania native, and she was a Harris surrogate, but she's been on Fox virtually all their programs talking about the problems that the Kamala Harris campaign had and even brought on itself. Let's begin with this one. Here's Lindy Lee, clip three.
We had expected to at least cling on to one or two of the blue wall states, but unfortunately, it was a full sweep. We were hoping for Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Nebraska, the second congressional district. Mm-hmm. So, needless to say, it was basically, if anyone has seen Game of Thrones, it was a red wedding. It was a bloodbath. So everyone is in a state of shock. The gender gap that we were pining for did not materialize to the extent, in a meaningful extent, and obviously youth and Latinos and African Americans, a lot of them went over to Trump. So there's going to be a lot of soul searching in the next couple of days. I hope that we can do an honest assessment and not criticize the people who have ideas and solutions about how we can move forward, because if we do not acknowledge the rightward turn of America, we're going to keep losing.
Now, to make things worse for President or Vice President Harris there. I've also got audio from Bob Brady. He worked for the Democrat Party there in Philadelphia. And Brady told Fox's Brian Yenis that he never saw or heard from Harris leading up to the vote in Pennsylvania, specifically Philly. Clip four.
The national campaign, nothing, zero. They had no respect. They have no coordination. They didn't talk. I never even had a conversation with the lady. They didn't even do the right thing as far as giving us the resources that we need, and they want to blame us. And now I understand somebody ever came was blaming Joe Biden. Can you imagine blaming Joe Biden for her loss? She lost. He didn't lose.
Based on your experience in Philadelphia, do you think that it is indicative of how this campaign was run nationwide?
It kind of seems that way, don't it? I mentioned our collar counties. They didn't do any. They didn't give them any respect. They were screaming and hollering for signs. They didn't get them to the last minute.
Who's that gentleman?
That's Bob Brady.
He's actually the head of the Democratic effort there in the city of Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a true Philadelphia voice.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't do it.
Tremendous.
Yeah, but he's saying that the Harris campaign failed to work with them and communicate with them and in a very key area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Pennsylvania.
He's
the guy who would have done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was very upset in another portion of that interview. He was really upset with the Harris campaign. He says they went to Scranton, one of their last rallies the day before the election.
Yeah.
They went to Scranton, and he was really upset because Joe Biden was not invited. And you know Joe Biden's connection with Scranton, Pennsylvania. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he says they didn't even invite the president to go there and be on the stage with Kamala Harris. So there's a lot of bitterness. The first person you heard from, Ms. Lee, mm-hmm. Others are saying the same thing, and it's very interesting. They say the Democratic Party has got to recognize the reality that the United States of America is a center-right, and this is the phrase they're using, a center-right country. Now, what she didn't explain what she meant by that, but I'm thinking that the Democratic Party has to figure out, okay, Kamala Harris went strong on the whole transgender agenda, for instance. She is saying the United States as a whole is not buying into the transgender, let boys into girls' bathrooms, let boys play on girls' teams. And they've got to back away from that. They also, I think they have to realize that the American people overall are really upset with what happened at the border security. And they don't want more big government programs. So I think all of those, I think, are what these Democrats are saying is that they've got to rethink their policies, rethink their message to the American people.
Yeah, but that's, I would agree with a good self-analysis after a defeat like this is mm-hmm. important to, you know, figuring out where you go and how you win again. However, the Democrats, at least half their party or more than half their party, don't believe they're doing anything wrong. And they believe that borders are immoral,
mm-hmm.
for example. So yeah. You talk about building walls and closing the border to illegal immigrants, they're going to tell you, you know, no. We need to let them keep coming.
Yeah.
I mean, and so that's what Harris and Biden did for the last 4 years. They just said, "Y'all come. We're mm-hmm. we're going to remove any restraints." I say that because that was intentional. Because yes. That's what they believe in. They don't believe in. You've heard it. Walls are immoral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard that by some of the Democrats. So I don't know. Has James Carville spoken? Because I just couldn't wait to hear what the guy from Louisiana had to say.
I just Googled him, and he blames Democrats' losses on woke-era politics. That's a headline in Newsweek.
He's right.
Yeah. Well, speaking of walls, both Lindy Lee and I believe even Bob Brady yesterday on Fox said that Harris made a mistake by picking Walls and not Josh Shapiro.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Shapiro debate with J.D. Vance.
Shapiro or Shapiro?
Shapiro. I'm from the
I'm
South.
Multiple
syllables.
Pronunciation.
But Shapiro would have done better in a debate with Vance than Walls did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the reason that Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, wasn't picked was because he's a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a lot of anti-Semites in the Democrat Party right now.
How sad.
Huh?
You ask yourself the question, Tim Walls, okay, That wasn't a trendy pick. It wasn't a smart pick. And I'm sitting here scratching my head. Can you guys think of anything he added to the ticket? I can't think of. I mean, in retrospect, no. Zero.
Didn't even get the football coach vote.
No.
I don't think.
He didn't. Like you pointed out, Tim, he comes from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota was not a threat to the Democratic
Party.
No,
they were
going to
vote blue anyway. Yeah, so she would have done her Harris that would. If she would have put the governor of Pennsylvania, Shapiro, she probably would have won Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And that would have been a big deal.
Yes.
And maybe that may have led to picking up another Midwestern state, upper Midwestern state or not, as Ray called them, Rust Belt. I don't know. I think the loss of the Democrats, if you want to look at that if you want to analyze what Trump did right, we can do that later. But what they did wrong was self-inflicted, because she was chosen as Biden's vice president because she was a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they had to check the boxes. Okay, not is she the best candidate to be vice president of the United States, but Biden said, I want a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was, you know what I'm saying? Now, not that she didn't have some credentials. Harris did. She was AG of a statewide office in California. She was a United States senator. I mean, you know, she wasn't working at a restaurant, a local restaurant cooking burgers, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying she had worked her way up. So she wasn't out of nowhere. But still, she was the reason why she was dead last.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dead last among Democrats in the primary, and you pick her to be your VP, and she's from California. Yeah. Democrats are already going to win California. So that was a big mistake. And then the other mistake was, I mentioned not picking the governor of Pennsylvania to be her running mate. But they couldn't do that because he was a Jew.
Yes.
So I'm saying that when I say self-inflicted by the Democrats, they just put them, their own forced ideology put them in a behind the eight ball,
yep,
so to speak, which is a ball of color, if you know anything about pool.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. Next story.
Let's do a little bit of meltdown from the liberal media. They're continuing to do that, and our Steve Jordahl is continuing to follow their meltdowns. Let's play a little bit of various people on the left melting down or losing their mind.
Oh, is this good? We need to. If you're driving down the road, you need to pull over for this.
No, you should be fine.
Okay.
Flip
so,
six.
So, okay, go.
I'm profoundly disturbed. I'm worried about mass deportation and internment camps. What we did not have is white women who voted about 52%, right, for Donald Trump, uneducated white women, is my understanding.
These guys on the other side inevitably start picking off individual journalists, individual publishers, individual news organizations to try ultimately to turn us all into some American-accented version of RT.
Can't help but wonder if the American people have given up on democracy.
I'd like to know what that says about us as a country.
The first two people to appear there were Sonny Hostin and Rachel Maddow.
Well,
frequent voices on this show.
I'm just going to invoke the saying we have here in the South. Bless their hearts. Bless their hearts. They're in mourning now, and understandably so. All right, let's take our break right now, if we can, Adam. So that was that Whoopi Goldberg I was hearing there?
No.
Okay. She's on The View, right?
She yes. is on The View, and I'm sure she will be featured again very soon.
Has Oprah spoken on this?
Probably.
I want to know, did any celebrities say, I'm leaving the U.S. and Trump's elected? Because...
Oh, several did.
It's time to send the U-Haul over. Huh? Several did?
Several, yeah.
They did in 2016. You remember ones, huh?
I'll find a list.
All right, you find that list. We'll be back momentarily with more. Stay with us.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. The words of our Lord. Anthony Pino, age 9, came running into his home one afternoon, shouting to his mother that his 3 older brothers had fallen into a pond and needed help. It happened when one of the brothers, Reuben, jumped on a plank floating in the pond north of Walsenburg, Colorado, and paddled away from the shore. He lost balance and fell into the pond. Reuben, who was 12, called for help. 2 other brothers, Freddie, 13, and Richard, 10, both went into the pond to save Reuben. Since none of the boys could swim, Anthony ran home to get help. Mrs. Fred Pino picked up the phone to call for help. 2 people were talking on the party line. Miss Pino explained the situation to them and asked them to please hang up so that she could call for help for her boys. The other 2 people refused to hang up. They laughed and ridiculed Miss Pino. She begged them to please get off the line, that her boys were drowning. They refused to do so, continued to laugh and ridicule. Another lady in the home with Miss Pino took the receiver, spoke to the other 2 people, told them again what had happened, and asked them to please let Mrs. Pino make the phone call for help. She too was met with a similar answer. You know, reading such a story, one wonders how any 2 people could be so cruel and heartless. A mother pleading for only the use of a phone for a few moments in order to call for help for her drowning sons was laughed at, ridiculed, refused. The story isn't new. As much as we talk about the goodness of man, there remains always the evilness and sinfulness of man. Our Heavenly Father knows something about this type of sinfulness. While He was pleading and begging people to listen, they were intent on carrying His Son to the crucifixion site. While He attempted to be heard, they laughed and ridiculed Him. Just common courtesy would have dictated that one should share a party line with one's neighbor. And certainly, knowing of one in Ms. Pino's situation, common courtesy would have said to be of all the help you can. But then not everyone cares about common courtesy. There's still selfishness and hatefulness and sinfulness in the world. For thousands of years, our Father's been trying to get us, all of us, to treat each other like our brothers. And for an equal number of years, we've been refusing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Stupid, silly, out of date, childish. Some people evidently think so. At least they don't think it applies to them. I wish those people could speak with Freddie or Reuben or Richard. Unfortunately, they cannot. They'll have to speak with Mrs. Pino. You see, Freddie, Reuben, and Richard are all dead. They drowned. Do unto others. Think about it the next time your brother is in need. And if you fail to act on it, for your own sake, ask for forgiveness.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13.
American Family Radio. This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Welcome back, everybody. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray, and we thank you for listening to AFR. Well, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, just spoke from the White House regarding the election results on Tuesday. Is that right, Chris?
Mm-hmm. He did.
Do you have something?
Steve is in the process of uploading a clip for us.
Okay. Anyway, Fred, he spoke, what, just a few minutes?
He spoke, yeah, about 5 minutes or so. He talked about, you know, there'll be a peaceful transfer of power. So he was very benevolent there. And we already know that he's invited incoming President Trump over to the White House to help in the transition. So he said the expected of a president who has just lost the election.
Okay, you know, Ray, we talked before the election that now I wanted Trump to win, and but I was thinking, one way or another, whether it's Trump or Harris, I wanted it to be decisive so that there was no waiting on judges to decide who's going to be the next president, because we're waiting on a county and three counties in Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Georgia to decide. You know what I'm saying? That just puts everybody on pins and needles. Conspiracy theories start running wild, and people just get anxious about it. So it's better that you look up at the scoreboard and you go, you know, that team won by three touchdowns. So there was no doubt who won the day.
Well, look, I think the Trump strategy was just brilliant. I read somewhere where they decided to front load, do an East Coast strategy, put their money and resources, especially in the three states, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania, for exactly, Tim, the reason you suggested, that you don't want a national election to be waiting on Clark County in Nevada or Maricopa County in Arizona.
Right.
So they came up with this East Coast strategy. Take Georgia, which they did. Take North Carolina, which they did. Take Pennsylvania, which they did. And that's why, even though we're still waiting for some Senate results from Arizona and Nevada, the president's race was settled on Tuesday night.
Chris, who won Nevada and did Trump win Nevada and Arizona?
He did.
Fred?
It
depends on the news outlet that you watch. Newsmax has called those. Newsmax has called the entire country. Fox was still waiting out on a couple of states early going into the break. Nevada and Arizona have yet to be called by Fox, but Trump is leading in both of those states. So it depends on the news outlet.
What about the Senate race in Nevada?
The Senate race in Nevada right now, the incumbent Democrat is winning there. Likewise in Arizona.
Okay. Well, the if you're a Democrat, you need to keep those Senate seats. Otherwise, it's just going to be, you know, it's not going to be. You're not going to have a quorum.
Yeah, we don't have the result in Pennsylvania yet. But McCormick, the Republican challenger, is ahead by about 30,000 votes.
Yeah.
And Casey, the Democrat incumbent, we are told is already raising money to do a legal challenge of some type.
So just if, you know, the Senate got less play than the presidential race, but the Democrats had incumbents in Pennsylvania and in Ohio and in Wisconsin that they were counting on winning.
Mm-hmm.
And they've lost two of them for certain. That is, the Republicans won in Wisconsin and they won in Ohio, and they're ahead in Pennsylvania. Looks like McCormick will win there. So that would be three Republicans taking over Democrat incumbent seats in the Senate.
That Ohio is really a feather in the cap for Republicans. They've long wanted Sherrod Brown gone.
I wonder what will happen if, Ray, what do you think will happen if somebody's got to take J.D. Vance's place in the Senate?
Oh, yeah, and it'll be a Republican, obviously, because they have a Republican governor there. Will it be somebody as conservative and strong and clear as J.D. Vance? Oh, I doubt that, but it'll be a safe Republican vote. And by the way, Tim, in Montana, remember, John Tester.
Oh, that's right.
John Tester went down as Sheehy,
yes,
the Republican
That was another flip for the Republicans on the Democrats. Go ahead, Fred.
It is very interesting you bring up Ohio, because there is some talk that the Republican governor there may
DeWine?
Pick, yes, DeWine may pick Vivek Ramaswamy to fill the J.D. But Vivek Ramaswamy, we are told, maybe doesn't want that.
Vivek Ramaswamy in the Senate, that doesn't work.
No.
From he has ADD. And,
A in floor a good, speech.
No, in a good way. That's why he's a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
The guy's highly intelligent, but he's
isn't he a prospect for the cabinet?
Maybe? Oh yes.
Somewhere now, in the administration?
Here's the gossip. Here's the political gossip in Ohio.
Give us the juice.
Political gossip in Ohio is DeWine, the governor, wants to put Vivek Ramaswamy in the Senate because he is worried that Vivek Ramaswamy may run for governor next time around in Ohio. So he
wants to boot him upstairs,
get him out of the way. That's the political gossip.
I can tell you some other cabinet positions, possibly.
Okay. I tell you what, let's hear the Biden clip.
Okay.
This is Joe Biden at the White House about half an hour ago, right?
Oh, just in the last 10, 15 minutes.
Okay, so we'll hear what he has to say, then we can come back and pick up on these potential cabinet positions for Trump. Go ahead.
America has carried on the greatest experiment in self-government in the history of the world. And that's not hyperbole, that's a fact. We're the people. The people vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully. And we're in a democracy. The will of the people always prevails. Yesterday, I spoke with President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his victory. And I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition. That's what the American people deserve. I know for some people, it's a time for victory, to state the obvious. For others, it's a time of loss. We accept the choice the country made.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was an appropriate address from sitting president of the opposing party who lost on Tuesday.
Very different tone from what he was referring to Trump followers a few days ago.
Right.
Garbage.
Yeah. Boy, was that a mistake.
Yeah. Wow. It was the apostrophe, Fred.
Unforced errors in politics will always amaze me.
Especially 3 days before the vote.
I know. What in the world? I mean,
and it's just a pure sidelight, guys. I still want to know, and we don't really know. Will we ever know what happened in that weekend back in July when Nancy Pelosi and whoever else strong-armed him out of the race? I mean, we really don't know, do we?
We don't, but it's going to make a great book.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Somebody's going to need money now.
The Democrat Party right now is in complete disarray, as we talked about here. They don't seem to have any leadership. Now, maybe somebody will emerge that is going to, you know, be Moses for them, right? Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, I don't think so.
No.
Huh? No, I don't think so.
If America's moving to the right, Newsom cannot possibly be their leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then California, you know, they've had their own problems because of the progressive movement there with high taxation, regulation, high crime. By the way, did y'all see that, is it the district attorney in Los Angeles?
Gascon.
He got voted out.
Mm-hmm, he did.
And he was the one who was letting all the criminals out and run free.
Yeah, he just made the big announcement involving the Menendez brothers, where their sentence might be commuted.
Yeah, he's a bleeding heart, and as liberal as Los Angeles, I guess county is, it was county or city, they voted him out. So that was interesting. So I think even liberal people are getting tired of runaway crime.
Well, yeah, and they just passed Measure 36 on Tuesday. Measure 36 in California is to get tough on crime and to stop letting these.
Right.
They were allowing people who they could steal up to $995.
Where's that?
In California.
Okay.
And these liberal reforms were brought in 2014. Guess who the Attorney General of California was in 2014?
Harris?
Kamala Harris.
Wow. Okay. Well, you can steal up to how much? Now, I need to know this because I may visit there next year.
I think it was like $900.
Okay. Do you have
one time.
Do you have to take your stolen goods up to, like, scan them?
No, they just, well, according to many videos,
they just walk out
with
it. Make sure you're under 1,000,
right? Well, that's what I'm saying, right? If you can get away with under 1,000, you need to know, you know, when you're getting close to that limit.
If you steal too much, you can give some of it back, so you stay under the limit.
That's what I was, you know.
But those reforms were brought in under Kamala Harris, and the reasons they say the reforms were brought in, because too many poor people were going to jail for stealing up these hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. So they wanted to make sure.
See, that's that crazy, secular, progressive, nutty philosophy where you apply, what do you call it? You apply identity politics to crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you say, well, we can't prosecute somebody because they may be of a low income. Or a certain ethnicity, so we're going to have to back off. Well, then you put them back on the street and endanger everybody, and then you get what you got in these big liberal cities. You got out of control and even violent crime.
It was really interesting on this 36 that was voted on in California on Tuesday. About 5 days before, when the Dodgers won the World Series, in California, there were bad people who decided to celebrate that by breaking into stores and stealing stuff. 5 days before they were voted on 36.
Did they keep it under $1,000?
Yeah.
That would be my question. You know, if you go into a jewelry store, you're probably going to hit that pretty quick.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. Oh, so now we'll start hearing discussion about who President-elect Trump will have on his team, on his coaching staff, so to speak.
Yes.
All right, what are we talking about?
Well,
here?
This is according to a Fox News story, which could be wrong, but this morning Fox News reported that the Trump transition team is already starting about filling positions, and a few familiar faces could be returning to the Trump administration.
Hold on a second. I've been having, excuse me, Chris, but there's a good reason I'm introduced. We've had Alex sitting by for 10 minutes now. Alex McFarland from North Carolina. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay, I'm going to go back to this, Alex, and then you can you can get dive in here, okay?
Sure.
Yeah, you're not mad at us for keeping you
No, I'm enjoying listening.
Okay, all right.
I'll make it quick.
Go ahead, Chris.
All right, some of the faces that may be returning to the next Trump administration would be Ben Carson at the Housing of Urban Development, or HUD. Betsy DeVos could be returning as Energy Secretary.
I thought she was Education.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I wrote it down wrong. Mike Pompeo would be returning, but as defense secretary. And again, this is all according to Fox.
Speculation.
It is speculation. Now, Mike Pompeo was secretary of state towards the end of the Trump administration. So this would be a new position for Mike Pompeo. Supposedly, Senator Marco Rubio is in the running for secretary of state. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum might be the energy or interior secretary. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr., according to Fox this morning, might be in running for Secretary of Agriculture or the head of Health and Human Services, otherwise known as HHS. The liberal media, we will bring in a montage of liberal media meltdown if RFK Jr. is appointed the head of things that decide shots.
Alex, what do you think about all this?
Well, I'm just praising God because we're getting leadership for our country. There are adults in the room now.
So let me ask you this. Marco Rubio, has his name been?
Yes. For Secretary of State. That would be interesting because DeSantis, do you appoint somebody or do you ascend the
ranks? Oh, you mean for
the ranks?
If Marco Rubio, the Republican senator
of Florida,
Alex from Florida, leaves the Senate and goes to be Secretary of State, like you're talking about, for President Trump, then who becomes the senator for Florida? I would think maybe Governor DeSantis would appoint himself because he's only got like 2 years left as governor. That's a possibility,
then
I guess.
Would they have a special election for another governor? That would be risky.
What's that?
Yeah, Democrats would love to flip that state for sure.
Florida ain't being flipped, my friends. It's gone. Florida ain't ever going back to being Democrat again. I don't think. I don't think they Did you see the margin, Ray, where Trump won in Florida?
Enormous. Enormous.
Well, it was just like DeSantis won 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was enormous. It's not even, it's like 60-40 or something like that.
Florida is in no sense a swing state.
No, Florida's red now.
Yeah.
By the way, I read this morning at least 22% of Jewish voters voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's huge, not only for Florida, but for the upper Northeast, that the stronghold the Democrat Party has had on the Jewish vote seems to have been broken.
Listen, the Republicans, and namely Trump, they won more votes from these demographics than any other Republican ever. And that would be Jews, and that would be Hispanics, and that would be Blacks, and that would be... I don't know any other.
The evangelical Christian black vote.
Hmm.
You got
that breakdown?
I don't have the exact number, but of black males and even black clergy, and this is huge. Now, you know, it might take a while for the crumbling to continue, but let me say that the Democrats are in the process of losing huge amounts of voters that they have owned for decades.
Yeah, why is that?
Well, I think because people still have common sense and people care about things like gender and marriage and morals. And also, let me say what a group of young black men, when I was at the RNC and I was there in Milwaukee for 4 days, and speaking, broadcasting, I was, it was great. Some dear people at Fox let me set up, Mike Lindell and myself, we set up the Comrex, and I was doing AFR content from the Fox booth in the media pit at the RNC convention. But I saw a group of...
Did you have a pillow?
He gave me a pillow to lean back on.
Okay.
super nice guy. But here's the thing. I was talking to like two dozen black men that I'm going to say they were 30, 31 years old, and they were just, they had on all of their MAGA hats, and some were delegates. But this young black man said to me, he said, "We are tired of being useful to the Democrat Party." And that's a verbatim quote. And I said, wow, that's huge. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I think President Trump won 20% of the. Did he win 20% of the black vote?
I believe it was. But another reason, particularly young black males, went Republican this time, I am told, is that on the transgender issue, they were not willing to go along with that. That was one of the reasons.
Yeah, the Democrats got so far out there on some of this stuff, they just thought they could ramrod it across America, and it was a backlash, backlash against, you know, what they were trying to do there with the, especially pushing girls, pushing boys, being allowed to play girls' sports and go into girls' locker rooms and showers, and Americans are supposed to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats are saying, yeah, you need to be okay with that. Either you're a transphobe.
Yeah.
And,
that costs them with white women, too.
Yeah. I have posted on our Today's Issues Facebook page an AP story, Associated Press story, on how various demographics voted for the candidates in this election. According to the Associated Press, Trump's share of black voters rose, driven largely by younger men. Slightly more Hispanic voters supported Trump. Narrow gains with women benefited Trump. Trump saw an increase with men. Trump won with a lot of people.
You know what? Also, the abortion issue, while it worked for the Democrats in 2022, I would agree, it did not work this time, and it won't work in the future because the issue has been decided already at the Supreme Court, and it's at a state level. And so everybody gets to vote in every state on what the law should be regarding abortion. So Trump's not going to initiate some kind of national abortion ban like Kamala Harris said he was going to do, trying to scare a lot of people. So that's not going to play anymore as a major issue for Democrats to drive out voters. I just don't, and I think that played a part this time too. People who may call themselves pro-choice, they didn't factor in abortion as much because it doesn't affect them. I mean, it's not a top-tier issue any longer. And the Democrats tried to scare women into saying, you know, your reproductive rights are at—that's what they call
it—at
jeopardy here. And I was thinking, nobody's buying that.
Nope.
Nobody's buying that. Maybe girls 20 to 25 were buying it, but nobody's really buying that anymore because people are seeing that when Roe versus Wade was overturned, all that did really was turn the issue back to the states. It didn't outlaw or ban abortion nationwide.
And you know what? Of the women, some females indicated they were going to vote for Kamala Harris as a show of solidarity for abortion rights or something. And there's nothing Kamala Harris could have done about abortion.
No, and that's why that takes a big issue away from the Democrats. Also, when Trump gets to appoint replacements for Supreme Court justices, we're not going to have any big hearings where Roe versus Wade is the main issue that the nominee needs to tell us what you feel about that, how you feel about that, because that's already been decided in the Dobbs decision. So it's going to be clear sight. Plus, Trump's going to have 52, 53, 54, perhaps, who knows, Republican senators. So he's going to get every Supreme Court justice that comes available. Trump's going to get to appoint whoever he wants, and there'll be no way Democrats can even stop him. Even if they pull out somebody from 25 years ago who said he sexually harassed me, like with Kavanaugh, remember that story? Mm-hmm. So it's Trump's going to get all the judges he wants through the federal bench. This is critically important. This was one of the big issues, and it's a big deal that the Senate is going to be 52, 53, 54. For him as he appoints judges. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. What do you think people in Israel are thinking right now, Alex, generally speaking?
I think Netanyahu's remarks to Trump congratulating him are probably reflective of the majority of people in Israel of relief. Netanyahu indicated he felt like prayers were answered, and I just thought it was beautiful and wonderful that, as far as I'm aware, the first international leader to congratulate Trump in the wee hours of the morning of November 6th was Netanyahu in Israel.
All right, Ray, I know you've traveled to the Ukraine. How many times?
Been there twice before the war, not since the war started.
Have you ever been to Ukraine, Alex?
No, sir.
Or you just don't want to tell us.
I've never been. Love to go. Uh-huh. I actually love to go to Russia and the Ukraine, too. But Bert and I actually were invited to go, but we haven't gone.
Okay, but you went over there, Ray, to speak at a Bible college?
Right,
or something?
A couple times at Bible Institute right outside of Kyiv. I thought it was really interesting that Mr. Putin, right after they announced that Trump had won, that he said he's going to be in touch with the president-elect to talk about a peace to end this war. So this is the power of putting the adults back in the room, as Alex said.
So are you saying, Putin said publicly that he wants to talk to Trump about ending the war?
That's exactly right. That's right. That's
a
big deal.
Yeah. Wow. That is.
And again, there's been some gossip that what Trump may propose is giving a segment of what now is eastern Ukraine to Russia.
Yeah. Now, Zelensky, I just saw a video, but it was an old video, I think, of Trump walking with Zelensky. Has he made a public statement or said anything, or has anybody heard?
Not that I'm aware of.
Somebody just ran the top right of the television here. I'm not sure which network it is. It may be CNN, I think.
CNN.
They claim that Zelensky says he and Trump had a, quote, productive talk.
Okay.
Believe CNN.
Well, this is going to be the first big international issue that Trump's going to have to deal with because, you remember, Trump said, I can solve this war in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I got to say this.
On the phone. So
forgive me for jumping in. But January 20th, 1981, Reagan was sworn in as president. The hostages had been over 400 days in captivity, literally like minutes after Reagan was sworn in. They were released. It's going to be that way with the Ukraine war. This thing is going to end quickly, I predict.
Well, may it be so. A lot of suffering has taken place in the Ukraine in particular, but also the Russians, who a lot of Russians didn't want to go to war with Ukraine. But when you got a dictator like Putin, there's not much you can do about it. Huh?
Yep.
All right. We'll be back after this short timeout. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Fred, Ray, and Alex, you want to hang around? Or you got to go pick peanuts.
I can stay if you want me to. I can stay.
Yeah, just stay because we were late getting you on.
Sure, thank you.
So I'd make it up to you there. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.